theology. Now, what do I remember most about my 5.5 years at the Greg after now 32 years of priestly service? Challenging academically, especially learning in Italian with references to Greek, Hebrew, and Latin. It was the University of the Nations, met seminarians and women religious from all over the world. It was very enriching. Some to this day continue to be good friends. I was elected for most of my years as a position on the Academic Senate, not only representing student needs of my classmates, but an interesting encounter with the dean and other professors who were primarily Jesuit. That was a very interesting experience, particularly when there was a question once and they went to the bylaws of the Greg and they had to interpret it in Latin to find out the answer. It was a very, very interesting experience. Now, there was the Greg Bar, which I understand is under new occupancy now. It's the place to gather casually and talk about our courses, and we develop friendships with students from all over the world. Then there were the oral examinations. 10 minutes and you're finished, sometimes in more ways than one. The professors were obliged to hear in 5 languages, Italian, Spanish, English, French, and Portuguese, at least at that time, the 5 official languages of the Greg. Then there was the famous note system, where together the American students attempted to summarize the Italian lectures so that we could pass the examinations. That is a controversial topic. And then there was the opportunity to experience some of the finest Jesuit priests and scholars from the entire world, and some to this day are friends of mine and have been supportive of me in my parish. This wonderful experience at the Gregorian did not remain at Rome. There is not a day that goes by that I do not do a prayer of thanks to Cardinal Hickey, who sent me to Rome. The gifts of the Gregorian education have assuredly influenced my homilies and books and lectures, influenced my homilies, counseling, and my 32 years of priestly and parish service. I shall always be forever grateful to the Gregorian University and to the Jesuits at Rome.
Thank you, Monsignor Vaghi, and we're grateful for you and your service, as we are for, I feel that we're so fortunate here in the Archdiocese to have so many wonderful cardinals, bishops, and priests who've had the benefit of attending the Gregorian. How fortunate we are that it's been there for them and ultimately for us. It's now my pleasure to introduce the president of the Gregorian University Foundation, Father Alan Fogarty.
In all of the talk of old universities and how old that Georgetown is the oldest in the United States, the Gregorian is the oldest Jesuit university in the society, it has to also be noted that today, 477 years ago, Paul III agreed to this group of men called the Society of Jesus. So it all started 477 years ago today. So good evening and welcome, distinguished guests and friends, and of course, Your Eminence, Monsignor Vaghi, Monsignor Arby. And Jane, thank you so much. As you've heard, I'm Father Alan Fogarty, president of the Gregorian University Foundation, and I'd like to take just a moment to introduce the senior vice president who's back here, Father Jim McCann, former rector of the Oriental. Tricia Lloyd, who is working with us now. Yeah, not Floyd Lloyd, thank you. And Colleen Mudliff, who is here as executive director of the foundation. So welcome. So I have an event for a U.S.-based foundation at the Apostolic Nunciature. Well, it's rather simple. The works supported by the Gregorian University Foundation are part of the 10 works entrusted by the Holy Father to the Society of Jesus Care. Archbishop Christophe Pierre's hospitality this evening, for which we are most grateful, establishes the link between the Holy See and the Foundation here in the United States. We wish His Excellency every blessing these days on his own apostolic mission as the Pope's representative in Washington and to the United States. The Gregorian University Foundation works nationally to raise funds in support of the three Jesuit-run pontifical institutions of higher learning in Rome. As you've heard, the Gregorian University, the Biblical Institute, and the Oriental Institute, each of which has a direct link with the Holy Father. The Gregorian was founded by St. Ignatius Loyola himself in 1551, so next week they're starting their 466th year. It's just a couple of years in the making. And at the request of the Pope, we established the Center of Learning for the Church in leadership with the Gregorian. Over time, what was known as the Roman College became known as the Gregorian University, and today, approximately 950 of the world's active bishops are alumni. The Biblical Institute opened in 1909 by the initiative of Pope Pius X, who believed the Catholic Church needed a center for excellence in biblical science. And a few years later, in 1917, Pope Benedict XV identifies the clear need for dialogue between the churches of the East and the West, and so establishes the Oriental Institute. We clearly are working from a great legacy with the three institutions from 1551 to today. In a few short days, the Gregorian will begin the 466th year, as I said, in the Biblicum 108 and the Oriental 100. In fact, in just over a week, a number of us here in the room will travel to Rome on a colloquium to learn about the institutions and their impact on the world over the centuries. During the trip on the morning of the 12th of October, Pope Francis will arrive at the Oriental Institute to bless a cypress tree, address the faculty, and meet our students from more than 50 countries. 50 countries is an important note, as there are only about 300 studying in any given year. Moving from the inner courtyard to the Aula Magna, members of the group will be introduced to the Holy Father and immediately afterward gather at the Basilica of St. Mary Major for the Eucharistic celebration presided by Pope Francis. We expect to hear Francis address the Oriental Institute by giving thanks for the 100 years of service the Jesuits have given to this very important task of East-West dialogue and, as he often does, encourage and challenge us to be ever more increasingly present to the people on the move, listening to their stories of displacement, migration, strife, and violence, and to help them, in the context of faith, to try and make sense of what God wants for them in this time of crisis. While virtually all of our students return home to minister in church and academic settings, some cannot return home, but only join their communities in diaspora to often play a key role in preserving the life of some of the oldest Christian communities on the planet. Along with this deep concern for the peoples of the East, Pope Francis knows of the advancement of women in the East, and as they traditionally, the roles that they now assume were often held by men only. And it will not be surprising if he prays for two of our Syrian students who have been kidnapped and are still missing. In his wisdom, Pope Francis, turning to Ignatian repetition, is calling out to the world, to all of us, to be seekers of peace, to end the nuclear reality, to be with one another in Jesus' name, to think critically in dialogue with society and the church, while loving her into the future, so she can, with a discerned and profound voice, respond to the lives of her faithful and those who are in need for whatever reason. In Pope Francis' call to us for peace, he is inviting us to be responsible to our world, and how we can care for it and for one another and how we can live together. This seems like a given, such a simple thing, but not so. Out of his intimate knowledge of and love for Christ, Francis is sounding the alarm for revitalization and re-energizing of our Catholic faith and the Church herself, but not only with inward self-examination, but also with the other in mind, held closely in our heart, whoever it is. The call of Francis is not only being heard by the Gregorian, the Biblicum, and the Oriental. It is being acted upon. The rectors and faculty scholars are in daily dialogue with one another in the academic world, with their students from over 150 countries, and with the Holy See in their service to secretariats, congregations, dicasteries, and commissions. The Jesuit response globally to the Pope, and especially in Rome, is strong, realistic, and hopeful. It is my hope that you will continue to keep in touch with us to learn more about these three institutions, directly under the Superior General of the Society of Jesus, in the center of Rome, by visiting our website, by joining us in Rome, or perhaps meeting us here in the city. Again, my thanks to the Nuncio Christophe Pierre for hosting us, to Cardinal Wuerl for his very warm welcome, to the Diocese of D.C., to Monsignor Vaghi, who has had a great impact on the Church in this area and beyond, for sharing his personal experience as a student at the Gregorian, and to Jane Belford for being our most gracious Master of Ceremonies this evening as a key person in the Catholic community here in the city. Please continue to socialize. God bless, and safe home. Thank you.
Right under mine, and I won't touch them. I promise.
Afterwards, I'd like to take a picture of all the presenters.
Okay.
In front of this. Don't run off. For that hospital.
Yes, I'll explain a little bit.
Okay.
I timed myself at 8 minutes and 11 seconds.
Okay. All right.
So that people are not falling asleep.
Do I need to say my name? Okay. Oh, I need to wait for her. Okay.
Starting to make their way. We didn't even have to start the blessing to get there.
Hello, Cardinal.
Nice to be at your party.
Thank you.
You're next.
Okay. Your Eminences, Your Excellencies, and friends, good evening. I'm Jane Belford, and I'm so honored to be here this evening with you. I want to thank you for joining us tonight to welcome the Gregorian University Foundation to Washington, D.C., and to learn a little bit more about the important mission of the foundation. A very special thank you to His Excellency Archbishop Christophe Pierre, the Apostolic Nuncio to the United States, for opening up the Holy Father's home in Washington to us for this gathering. The mission of the Gregorian University Foundation is to support the Pontifical Jesuit Higher Education Consortium in Rome. And that's made up of three centers of learning: the Pontifical Biblical Institute, the Pontifical Oriental Institute for Eastern Christian Studies, and of course, the Pontifical Gregorian University, or the GREG, as it is sometimes referred to, the only Jesuit university founded by St. Ignatius himself, and the oldest Jesuit university in the world. Together, these schools are preeminent institutions of learning for our Catholic Church, and helping to train and educate and prepare competent, capable, and compassionate leaders. Counted among its alumni are many popes, as well as cardinals, bishops, priests, religious, and lay men and women, many here in the Archdiocese and very many with us tonight. So without further ado, and before we get into our program, it is my privilege to introduce Monsignor Walter Irby, the Chargé d'Affaires here at the Annunciature, for a few words of welcome. Thank you.
Your Eminence, Your Excellencies, dear friends, good evening and welcome to the Apostolic Nunciature. I know that I have only a few minutes, so let me start from the book of Genesis. In 1991, for the needs of my own diocese, my bishop sent me to Rome to study canon law at the Pontifical Gregorian University. The dean of the faculty at that time was Father Urbano Navarrete, who accepted later on to be the director of my thesis for the license in canon law. When we were almost at the conclusion of the second and the last year of the license program, it was only 2 years at that time, Father Navarrete approached me and asked me if I was available to enter the Pontifical Ecclesiastical Academy. Well, I answered that it was not my cup of tea. I did not feel at ease thinking of myself working in an office, especially in an office like an embassy, something so far from my idea of priestly ministry, pastoral work in a parish, with the youth, with the families. I thought it was better for me to go back to my diocese, to be of service to the people, perhaps in addition to work in a parish, also serving in a tribunal and teaching canon law or something else. The argument with Father Navarrete, who eventually became cardinal in 2007, at that point was very friendly and, as far as I was concerned, closed. So I went back to my diocese and I served there according to my bishop's will and assignments, as a vicar in a parish, first of all, then at the same time in the tribunal and as a teacher of canon law, and later on during the years at the social communications office of the diocese and some other things. Okay. After 6 years of pastoral service in my diocese, 2 days before Palm Sunday, my bishop asked me if I was available to join the Pontifical Ecclesiastical Academy. I said, "What? Are you serious? Are you kidding me?" I could not believe that he was asking me that. So I told him the whole story, and I said that from my perspective, that chapter was already closed. Very resolutely, he said to me, "Wait, let me understand. Is this the second time you have been asked to go to the academy? And by the way, I did not know that there was a first time. And you continue to say no. How many times do you think that the will of God should be reasonably proposed to you in order for you to accept it?" I was really distressed. I could not say a word except to say, "I don't know." And he told me, "Well, you go and try. If you feel well, it will be fine. If not, you can always come back here." So I went, I tried, and I went again to the Pontifical Gregorian University for the doctorate in canon law. At the same time, I graduated from the Ecclesiastical Academy and I started with the diplomatic service of the ODC. This long story is essentially the reason why I'm here today, to welcome all of you on behalf of the Apostolic Nuncio, His Excellency Archbishop Christophe Pierre, and in my own name, to this Apostolic Nunciature. The warmest welcome, of course, is for His Eminence Cardinal Donald Wuerl, Archbishop of Washington, whose presence makes us tonight even closer to our beloved Holy Father, Pope Francis, in this, his house in the United States of America. A warm welcome, needless to say, to Father Alan Fogarty, President of the Gregorian University Foundation, to the Board of Trustees, and to all those associated with the Foundation. The long story I shared with you is also a very good occasion for me to express my deep personal gratitude to the Pontifical Gregorian University for the wonderful education I received and for all that it does for the education of so many people coming from all over the world. This specific effort, believe me, worthily deserves the help and the generosity of all of us present here and of all our friends at home. Therefore, it is an honor and a pleasure to host today in this house of the Holy Father this event of the Gregorian University Foundation. Again, welcome to each and every one of you, and enjoy the evening.
Thank you, Monsignor Irby, for that warm welcome and for that wonderful story you shared with us. We're glad you said yes the second time. Our next speaker is someone who needs no introduction, but I just want to say the first time I really heard about the Gregorian was when I went to Rome for Cardinal Wuerl's elevation for the consistory at which he became a cardinal. And we were with a group of people walking on the street, and we saw a group of seminarians, and somebody said, "Oh, those are knackers from the Greg." And I thought, what are those? Little did I know I would be here tonight talking about some of those same people. But it gives me great pleasure to introduce the Archbishop of Washington, Cardinal Donald Wuerl.
Thank you, Jane. Jane, thank you. Thank you so very much. And I want to begin by welcoming all of you members and supporters of the Gregorian University Foundation to welcome you to Washington, to this archdiocese. And I want to say a word of appreciation to Monsignor Irby. Thank you for opening up the nunciature to us. And I have to say, I had a great sympathy for your remarks, and especially when you were explaining your great desire to do something pastoral. When I was completing my service in Rome, I went to see Pope John Paul II, and he said, "I understand you don't want to stay here any longer." And fortunately, he was smiling. And I said, "Holy Father, I would like to do something more pastoral." And he looked and said, "And what I'm doing isn't." So at that point, I learned, as you did, that any service to the church is pastoral. And so thank you for the gracious hospitality. I also want to recognize and say a word of appreciation to Father Alan Fogarty and also to Father James McCann. Father Fogarty is the president of the Gregorian Foundation. And it's wonderful for us to have this opportunity to gather here to speak about the service that the Jesuits, through the Gregorian Foundation, provide the entire church. So it's wonderful to be here with you. There's a special joy for me to welcome this Jesuit institution to Washington, because even though the foundation has only recently arrived here in Washington, Jesuits were the very first to arrive. They arrived in 1634 when the Ark and the Dove landed on St. Clement's Isle. We were there not that long ago to celebrate that event. And it was from that moment on that there's been a presence of Jesuits in this archdiocese. They made their way up from the island. They made their way up from St. Mary's City. And eventually, they arrived here. They arrived and established Georgetown University. Georgetown University, as we heard in Jane's introduction, is the oldest Catholic university in the United States. And it has, for all of us, a great significance as one of the manifestations of the work and labor and gift of the Jesuits. The first is their pastoral work that was demonstrated in the life of Andrew Young and all of those who arrived at the very beginning of the English-speaking colonies and introducing Catholicism here. But then they took on their extraordinary work, the extraordinary work of higher education. And when we look at the university, what we see is a manifestation of something that is very close to the heart of all of us who went to the Gregorian. This university, which is one of the three institutions of the Gregorian Foundation, is the home, the academic home, now of almost 30 priests serving actively in this archdiocese. Now, I have to tell you, in some diocesan seminaries, some large diocesan seminaries, they like to put on the wall the pictures of any bishops who are their alumni. And then in some of the universities, like, for example, the Catholic University, they like to put on the wall the pictures of any of the cardinal alumni. But when you go to the Gregorian, they have on the wall the pictures of all the popes who are alumni. The consortium, this consortium that makes up the Gregorian Foundation, that the Gregorian Foundation supports, has, as Jane pointed out, three schools, and they are extraordinary for what they accomplish. When we had, back in 2006, the Synod on the Word of God, when Pope Benedict called for a Synod on the Word of God, and bishops were sent from all over the world, we realized we were in trouble. When they announced that there were 60 bishops who were graduates of the Biblicum. You can imagine the level of conversation. The rest of us had a chance to drink a lot of mineral water. This archdiocese benefits from the Gregorian in a very, very special way. But there is another presence of the Jesuits here. The Gregorian Foundation and its institutions is definitely present in its alumni, in its priests and bishops. But there's another real presence of the Jesuits, and we're so grateful to be here in this nunciature. As we all know, a nunciature by international convention represents a piece of the country that it represents. And so we are here, guests, but we are here in the house of our Holy Father, which means we're in the house of a Jesuit. And so we simply say to everybody who is going to be supporting the Gregorian Foundation, you're in good company. God bless you.